Well, all throughout Lent, we have been looking at different people in the Bible who prayed for some unusual things. And perhaps no prayer is more unusual than today's. Because in today, there's no folded hands, there's no bowed heads, there's no list of our needs or things that we're thankful for. In fact, the prayer today is just one word. And we find it in the 20th chapter of John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both are running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Believed not in the resurrection, believed Mary, who said somebody had taken the body away. See, they still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they are staying. Mary sees the empty tomb, but she thinks somebody must have stolen the body. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." Mary sees not only the empty tomb, but she sees two angels in white, but still she weeps. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." She's seen an empty tomb, she's seen two angels in white, and now Mary even sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. In all the records of Jesus' appearance in the scriptures, he looks pretty much like himself. He even has the nail hole still in his hands and the hole in his side where he was pierced. But people seem to have a hard time recognizing him. And I suppose it's a bit like running into somebody that you know in a place that you don't usually see them. I mean, you've probably all had this experience. You're off on vacation and you walk right past a neighbor, but you don't recognize them because you don't expect them to be in Florida. Mary has Jesus right in front of her, but she doesn't. If there's anybody she expected to see less that day, it was Jesus. She had seen Jesus crucified. She had seen him buried. Dead people don't walk around in gardens. And so even though he is there, she doesn't realize it's him. But then it happens. Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. When she hears him call her name, she suddenly recognizes that it is Jesus. And she shouts that little one-word prayer, a prayer of recognition, "Rabboni, teacher, it's you. I recognize you. You are with me. You're alive." All summed up in that one word, Rabboni, a prayer of recognition. And having heard her name, she finally sees the Lord. Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the big scale of things, Easter is about the resurrection. Christ's defeat of death, his victory over the sin that our sin that took him to the cross, his eternal rule. Easter is a big, hairy deal for the universe. But on a personal level, Easter is personal. It isn't until she recognizes Jesus that Mary experiences Easter for herself. That Christ is alive and with her. Mary's life has changed not because of the big cosmic victory that Jesus has won, but Mary's life has changed because she meets Jesus, shouting, "Rabboni," when she recognizes him. So I ask you, where are you going to meet Jesus today? Where are you going to make Easter personal? What will lead you to pray, "Rabboni, teacher, you're alive, you're with me"? I suppose you could go to Jesus' tomb. It's open again this year. Last year, it was closed because of COVID. For the first time since the bubonic plague of 1349, you couldn't go into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Church of the Holy Tomb, that is the traditional site of where Jesus was buried. But now it's open this year, so you could go there. Has anybody ever been there? Anybody been there in Jerusalem? Well, if you go there, you will find a very large church. And inside that church is a very large shrine placed over the place where the traditional burial site is. They call it the edicule. When my son Luke was 12 years old, I took him there to the Holy Land to see places like this. I had been there before, and it had such an impact on me to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to go to those places that I had studied about and read about in the Bible. It brought me so close to Jesus. But for Luke, not so much. You see, over the centuries, on every one of those biblical places that are so special and that he had learned about in Sunday school, Christians have built a church. So if you want to go to see the birthplace of Jesus, you go to Bethlehem and you go in the basement of a church. Go to Nazareth, you go to a church. You see the sites of the great miracles, the loaves and fishes, a church. And then, of course, the site of the burial and resurrection of Jesus, a church. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Luke had, I think, expected to see the pictures like in the Bible. In his illustrated Bible, you know how it looks. There is a tomb cut out of the rock, a great big stone in front of it that's been rolled away. It's there in a garden. I think that's what he expected to see. He didn't expect to walk into a church and then find another, almost another little church on top of it and be told, "Well, it's under here somewhere." But it is under there, at least to the best of anybody's knowledge. They did some renovations of that site 5 years ago, and they took up the marble floor of the shrine, and underneath it there was more marble from the 12th century. And they took that up, and underneath it was more, another layer from the time of Constantine. See, Constantine was the first emperor that allowed Christianity in the year about 312. Constantine became a Christian. And shortly after, he made Christianity legal. And he sent his mom to the Holy Land to try to identify the sites. Because, you see, before, the Romans had been trying to eliminate any reference to Jesus, and they tried to get rid of all the Jews. In fact, the site, the traditional site where the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is now, the Romans had built their own temple, their own pagan temple on top of it. And so they buried the tomb and everything else and put their temple on top of it. So Constantine removed that pagan temple, and he put up this church. And as the restorers got further and further down, they eventually got down to the place, to that bedrock cave where Jesus' body lay. It was quite an exciting discovery. You may have seen it, because before it was just going on people's words for the last 1,700 years. But you know, when they restored it, they put it all back. So you go there now, and you still can't see the place where Jesus was buried. You just see the church stuff. But that's okay, because the good news of the resurrection is he is not there. He's risen. And you can meet Jesus in this church or any church this Easter, just as well as you can out in front of the tomb. The risen Jesus is here, just as he promised, wherever two or three gather in his name. And for that matter, you can meet him at any cemetery. You can meet him in front of any tomb, because the risen Jesus is waiting to meet you where you are. And if you're not into cemeteries and tombs, well, that's okay. How about meeting Jesus in a garden? In John 19:41, he says, "The place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid." It was actually in the garden where Mary meets Jesus and shouts, "Rabboni." In Jerusalem today, there's another site that some believe is the actual garden tomb. And it looks just like what the Sunday school material looks like. There is the stone with the cave in there with the burial place. And there is the garden around it, place for the big stone to roll. It's just like what you would imagine. In fact, going there was so much like how I had imagined the site of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, that I felt especially close to Jesus. You almost feel like he's going to come up to you and call your name. It's a pretty neat spot. But you know, even there, it says on the door, "He is not here. He is risen." You can meet Jesus in any garden. We symbolize that on Easter by having all the flowers in our churches and in our homes. We create a garden because Mary met Jesus in the garden. And as wonderful as it is, you can meet Jesus in any place where there is beauty, where there is life, where things are growing. You can meet Jesus in your own garden, turning over the soil this next week. You can meet Jesus in God's wonderful gardens, those places like Yellowstone Park, places of great beauty, or even going to a church camp. You can meet the Lord outdoors. You don't have to be in a church or inside anywhere to meet Jesus this week, because you could meet him in a garden just like Mary. And of course, as we read, though, she didn't recognize him. Didn't recognize him at first. She thought he was just an ordinary gardener, like one of the dozens of people that we run into each day that are going about their daily business. But even, in an ordinary gardener, you can meet Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 25, he tells a story about the righteous entering the kingdom of God. And he says when they do, he'll say to them, "Thank you for feeding me when I was hungry. Thank you for visiting me when I was sick. Thank you for inviting me in when I was a stranger. Thank you for visiting me when I was in prison." And the righteous will say, "Well, when did we ever see you hungry or sick or lonely or in prison?" And Jesus says, "Whenever you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me." You want to meet the risen Jesus this week? Try looking in the eyes of a gardener, or a sick person, or a prisoner, or someone in need, a stranger, a neighbor. Look in the eyes of someone else, and you may see Jesus. Mary thought he was just a gardener. But then he calls her by name. He says, "Mary." And she recognizes who he is. And she shouts out, "Rabboni," "Rabbi," "Teacher." She realizes when he calls her by name that he is alive and he is with her. And we too can meet Jesus when we hear him call our name. Who prays, "Rabboni, teacher"? It's someone for whom the resurrection has become personal with the speaking of her name. And Jesus speaks your name too. Jesus is looking to meet you in all those places that you would least expect to see him. Jesus is there and calling your name. It wasn't that the great cosmic resurrection had happened that caused her to pray her little prayer. It wasn't the great picture that really changed her life that day. It was when she realized that it was her Rabboni, her teacher, her Lord, who was with her and alive. So where will you meet Jesus this day and this week? You can meet him here in this church or any church. You can meet him in a cemetery. You can meet him in a garden, whether it's man-made or one of God's great gardens of creation. You can meet him in gardeners and plumbers and clerks and accountants and strangers and neighbors and prisoners and the homeless, his brothers and sisters. You can meet him today if you listen for his voice, if you hear him call your name, and you pray, "Teacher, Lord, you're with me. You're alive. And because you live, I will too." Let's pray. Lord, help us to hear you as you call our name today. We get so distracted in the things of life, whether it be times of grief, whether it be times of joy, whether it be ordinary times, we just get caught up in other things. But you're there, and you are with us. So help us to hear you whisper our voice, and help us to shout in return, "Rabboni, teacher, Lord, Jesus, you are alive, and you are with me." Lord, may the resurrection become personal to us this week. May we realize that you have come to be with us. Yes, you've defeated all the powers of sin and darkness. And that is truly a miracle. But the most wonderful thing is when the resurrection becomes personal and you meet us. So meet us this week. Amen.